We heard. Oh. No, just honestly. Me and I think we don't miss. I didn't do anything, honestly, truthfully.
Can you say this?
Try and avoid that button.
I pushed the button. Okay. We heard this morning about, you know, if you know who you...
If you know who you... I didn't touch it.
It's not part of the house system, but I think it will work.
I bet not. We heard this morning that if you know who you are in Christ, you can take authority, the authority that God the Father gave Jesus, because Jesus promised his disciples that they would do even greater things than they had seen. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't raised anybody from the dead. But, you know, you never know, do you? Other people have. Okay, so I'm kind of going to abandon the PowerPoint because the system is kind of playing up. Is that okay? That's good call. Okay. And I just want to share with you some of the journey that I've been on, particularly in the last 18 months. Although I've been in Renewal for 40 years, you know, I got baptized in the Spirit in 1978 when I was 21. And the Lord has really, like, blessed me over the years. And yes, there have been problems as well, because life is life, isn't it? But he's been with me in all of it. But to be honest with you, I kept in a nice, safe comfort zone. As Philip said, I was involved with Celebrate since it began in 1993. And I've been part of the core team for a number of years. I'm just about actually to come off it next year. But you know, in a way, although you get kudos for being part of a big thing like Celebrate, in a way, it was quite safe, because it was in a nice Catholic context, nice, you know, Christians around, ecumenical, really nice. People came because they wanted to come, yeah? So, in a way, I was in a comfort zone, and over the years, the Lord has been challenging me on that. And then, 18 months ago, I went on a course in Milton Keynes, where I live, in an evangelical, they call it a non-denominational church. And it's a course called the School of Supernatural Life. Sometimes it's called Training in Supernatural Ministry. So it can be called different things. And basically what it is, it's learning how to step out with more boldness into the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So although I've used the gifts of the Holy Spirit, various gifts of the Holy Spirit over the years, I mean, tongues I love because it helps my prayer life so much, but that's a personal gift. But you know, I've used prophecy, I've used words of knowledge, I've occasionally prayed for healing and seen healing. You know, I haven't raised anybody from the dead, as I said, but who knows? But I've done it in a safe environment. In my own parish prayer group, or a Celebrate, or at New Dawn, or very Days of Renewal, you know, they're quite nice, safe environments. And I felt the Lord say, do you know what, it's one thing to do it in the church, but actually, in the times we're living, the real need is out in the world. And we are not going to get people through the door. We actually have to go out to them. Are you with me? Now, I don't know about you, but when I started feeling that, I thought, no, that is not me. I am not that kind of personality. I'm not the sort of person that can start sharing the gospel at the bus stop. I really am not. You know, I'm very much a kind of like, I don't want to inflict my views on other people. But the Lord was saying, but actually, do you know what? I called you to be a disciple. And as Father was saying in his homily, we can't keep it for ourselves. We have to share it. And we have to actually share it with the most needy. So, I mean, in response to that, with knees knocking, I joined this School of Supernatural Life. It was a year-long course, three Thursdays out of four every month, plus four weekends, so it was quite a commitment. But they were absolutely lovely. And also, I thought, are they going to accept me as a Catholic? because I've had mixed responses from evangelicals. Some of them have been absolutely delightful, and some have been like, oh, you know, we think we need to pray with you to be saved, you know. But they were absolutely lovely, and they honoured us. There were three of us on the course from the Catholic Church, and they absolutely honoured us. I can't tell you how lovely they were. But about a month into the course, we did our first outreach on the street. Have any of you done outreach on the street? No? Oh, somebody at back there, Pam. Excellent. Pam and Rob. Okay. Well, I don't know about you, but I thought, shall I skip that week? Look all in sick, you know. And then I thought, don't be a wimp, do it. Okay? So I want to share with you some of the practical ways in which the Lord's been teaching me how to reach people in love. The first thing we got was really good teaching before we even went out on the street. And the best thing, the guy in charge of the outreach, a guy called Steve, the best thing he said to us was, this is not about your success. We don't come back and compare how many people we brought to the Lord, or how many people let us pray with them, or how many people told us to, you know what, off, you know. We don't do that. This is an obedience to the Lord. And so all you have to do is share his love. The second thing he said is, we have not got an agenda. These people are not gospel fodder. We're not out to try and win them. We're out to show them God's love. End of story, okay? And if that means you just have a nice chat with them at the bus stop, or you give them a hug, or you share, you know, a chocolate with them, then so be it. And the way he illustrated it was this. He had a washing line, and this totally took the pressure off me. After this, I thought, yeah, I can do that. Before I was thinking, there's no way I can do that. He had a washing line, and he said, if this end is somebody committed Christian, knows the Father, knows the Son, living in the Holy Spirit, you know, got everything, got sorted, right? And the other end is the person who knows nothing, possibly living in a dreadful way, you know, full of sin, whatever, dreadful life, okay? Most of us are somewhere in the middle, aren't we? We're mostly somewhere in the middle. If Mother Teresa is up here, you know, Pope Francis and people like that, and blessed, you know, Saint John Henry Newman, as we have to call him now, don't we? And, you know, I don't know, the worst of the worst, Hitler is up at this end. Most of us are somewhere here in the middle. What Steve said was, if you meet somebody on the street, and they're up this end, or towards this end, and you move them that much, you've moved them that much nearer the Lord. Have you won them for Christ? No. But actually, they've met you, and you've shared God's love. Maybe somewhere down the line, they'll meet someone else who'll share God's love, and they'll move that much. And maybe somewhere along the line, a few months later, a few weeks later, a few years later, they'll meet someone else who'll move them that much. And eventually, they might get to the Lord, okay? Because we're all linked in a chain in people's lives. You look back over the people who have influenced you and who the Lord has sent into your life, the chances are it's not just one person. The chances are you've had what seem to be chance encounters along the way that pushed you that bit further. Would you agree? And I found that so helpful because it took the pressure off. I thought, yeah, I can share God's love with people. I'm quite a loving person. You know, and I find it hard to, I find it easy to relate to people. I find it easy to sympathize with people. I'm not shy. I'm just not very courageous. So we went out in groups of five, and we had signs saying, free hug. And we were supposed to go on to, you know, a busy shopping centre in Milton Keynes where I live. And this is me. This is how I've not got it all together, I'm thinking. I live right in the centre of Milton Keynes, which has a huge shopping mall. And if you know it, it's huge. And I'm thinking, oh, I hope you don't go to that one because I might meet somebody I know. fortunately, they sent me and the group I was with to another shopping district. But that, do you know what I mean? I'm sharing my faults with you now. I'm not put it all together. Right, okay, the weaknesses are there. The Lord is working on them, but they're not gone yet. Okay. So we went to this shopping district. And I was really sceptical. I thought, okay, we've got these big signs saying, free hug, I'll give you a free hug. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? This is England. We are British. You know, if you say to someone, do you want a free hug, they're going to go, what? You know, get away from me, you loony, aren't they? And I thought, but I thought, okay, let's go for it. I've got to actually do this. I've got to step out. And, you know, that year, last year, the theme for Celebrate, as it is, you know, we had just decided the theme for Celebrate, because this was sort of 18 months ago, and we decided a year in advance, and it was the Joshua thing, and I'm thinking, how can I be a part of Celebrate that has this theme, which we've just heard from the Lord, and not do it? So anyway, I can't tell you what it was like. I thought we're just going to get total rejection. Right, we went out, and there was a line of people at a bus stop, and it was a wet November night, the rain was pouring down, and we went out and went, free hug, anybody want a free hug? And I held back at the back, and I'm going, free hug, free hug, hiding behind the bigger people, which in my case is not difficult, you know. This lady said, oh, I love a free hug. This lady standing at the bus stop. So I gave her a hug, you know, a kind of sisterly kind of hug, motherly hug, and she went, that's the best thing that's happened to me today. So I said, why, what's happened? If you feel you can share. And she said, oh, it's nothing drastic, it's just I had to do a double shift at work, my boss didn't give me any time to have my lunch, and, you know, I've got two bus rides before I get home. I've been on my feet since 8 o'clock this morning. This was now like 8:30 at night. And she'd done one bus trip and she was waiting for the second bus. And she said, you know, she was working for Tesco's, and she said, I was working my local Tesco's that I could walk to, and then suddenly the new one opened up at Kingston, this shopping district, and they shipped a load of us up there. She said, so now it takes two bus rides to get home. And I said, is that going to go on for very long? And she said, no, it's only temporary till they get full staff. But, oh. And she was just exhausted. Okay. So I said to her, well, look, you know, we're doing this because we're Christians from a Christian church. Do you mind if I pray with you? And she went, well, I don't believe in God. And I said, that's okay. He believes in you. And she said, oh, all right then. And I mean, it literally was that. It was, oh, all right then, can't bring you home, can it? So I just sort of put my hand on her shoulder, I did kind of ask her permission, and I said, Lord, we just lift up, and I said her name, she told me her name. She's exhausted, she's had a horrible day, we just asked for refreshment, and she's been waiting 20 minutes for the bus. It would be really helpful if the bus came along now, really, truly. And, you know, I'm just asking that in God's name, in Jesus' name, amen. And she went, that's so lovely. And guess what? The bus arrived. Now, I didn't want anything from her. One of the first things she said to me when we were doing free hug, she said, what's this for? Because people are suspicious, aren't they? Because, you know, we all believe the adage, there's no such thing as a free lunch. And I don't know about you, but I've been on the receiving end of various groups who want to try and recruit me, yeah? And I'm sorry, but it leaves a nasty taste in the mouth. It's like, well, you're just viewing me as another statistic to get me in, aren't you? You're not seeing me the person. And so you immediately put the barrier up. If you just say, we're just sharing God's love, we don't want you to sign up to anything, we're not asking you to do anything, we're just sharing God's love, suddenly the barriers come down. Now, maybe somewhere along the line, she'll go, oh, those Christians were quite nice, weren't they? And we've moved her on a bit, yes? Okay, next time we went out, there was a guy, he was He was working actually in the big Tesco's where this lady was, but he was cleaning. He was cleaning the precinct that this big Tesco's was in, and there he was with his trolley, you know, and his mop and everything. And this time I was out with just a pair of us went out together. They sent us out in pairs because as the course went on, you got bolder and bolder. Okay, so the next stage was go out in pairs, and. So myself and one of the guys, we were out together, and just to strike up a conversation with this guy, I said, oh, thanks very much for the work you're doing, because it's bothersome here, and it was. And he said, oh, thank you. He said, we don't get much compliments, we usually just get complaints. And he said, would you mind emailing my boss, saying that you're pleased with me? And so I said, yeah, okay, I'll do that, you know, because I mean, he was doing a good job. And then he said, so what are you doing this for then? Because he'd seen us kind of circling around, and actually, the guy I was with, Ivor, and I decided we'd do a prayer walk just round the precinct, you know, so we were just walking around and silently praying, you know, we weren't kind of at the top of our voices, you know, in tongues or anything, we were just silently praying. And he said, I've seen you wandering around, he said, oh, and Ivan, who's much braver than me, because he's kind of from a much kind of freer background than me, he said, oh, we're Christians, we were just doing a prayer walk. And then he said, would you like prayer for anything? And this guy went, what? And he said, well, put it this way. If you could ask God for anything, what would it be? And I thought, in my head, I thought, well, he's going to say, like, win the lottery or something, isn't he? He went, oh, that's a good question. And then he said, I suppose what I'd want is reassurance that I'll be okay in a year's time. And we went, what do you mean, you know? And he said, I just finished treatment for bowel cancer. So the cautious person in me said, we actually can't promise him that, can we? Because we can't. We don't know what's in the future, do we? And I'm not one for like false hope and everything's going to be hunky-dory when I don't know that. So I said to him, well, we can certainly ask the Lord. We believe in a God who heals. But I have to tell you, he doesn't heal every time we ask him. And I don't understand why he doesn't. Okay, sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. It just seems to be in his sovereign will, okay? I said, but we can certainly pray and we can certainly put you in his hands. If that's all right. So I haven't promised him anything, do you know? Because I didn't have the courage to, and I actually didn't have the word from the Lord to do that. Because you've got to be listening to the Lord, haven't you? Otherwise you're going to make some really dreadful mistakes. So we prayed with this guy, and Ivan took the lead, thank goodness, and it was better that a man prayed with a man, especially something like bowel cancer. It's a bit personal, isn't it? So he prayed that, you know, whatever was going to happen in the future, the Lord would have his hand on this guy, and that we would have the strength to cope with whatever was coming. But we also prayed for healing. We also said that, Lord, it would be so lovely if this guy could, you know, that the bowel cancer didn't come back. And then he was crying. That set me off, you know, empathy. And then he said, actually, there's something even more. So I went, okay, you know? And he said, because of the treatment, I can't have any more children. And we've got one little girl, and I always wanted more than one child. So I want to be able to have more children. Now, the super spiritual person would have gone, this is a chance for the Lord to work. I went, oh my God, really? You know, in my head, you are kidding me, Lord. What am I to do with this? So I kind of took a minute and went, you know, give me the words to say because I don't know what to say. Because that's huge, isn't it? It's massive. And then what came to me was this. It was like the Lord saying, you believe I can cure cancer, you don't believe I can cure this. So are you telling me I can cure a common cold, but like I can't mend a broken leg? I mean, you know, it's not about severity, is it? Because like he's Lord. But again, I didn't feel I could promise anything. So and Ivan looked at me, and even he looked a bit shocked. And so we prayed this prayer. We just said, Lord, we don't know what to pray in this. We don't know what to pray. This seems an impossible situation. The doctors have all told him, the tests have all come back, that he can't have kids anymore because of the treatment he's received. But Lord, you can work miracles, and we're asking for a miracle. And maybe that you will give him children naturally, or maybe you'll give him children through another way. And we don't know, Lord, but we just put it out there for you. And I said to the guy, look, that's all I feel I can do, you know? And he was weeping by this time. And he said, my wife and they were about to get married, you know, the partner and he, we're thinking about adoption. And he said, maybe you've given me the push to think about it a bit more. And, you know, we went away, I was in bits, the guy was in bits, but do you know what? He was so touched. He said, thank you so much for what you've just done. He said, I don't know about God, but I know that, you know, you've loved me. Isn't that amazing? I mean, he meant me and Ivan, not just me. And that was the lesson. Okay, fast forward to something else. Nice, safe thing. I was doing a talk at a prayer group in Twickenham, and it's run by friends of mine. You know them, actually. Mike and Maureen Goldsmith, yeah? It's called the mustard seed. Now, think about that. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed. So I'm there, and I was giving a talk on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we were mainly focusing on prophecy and words of knowledge. But just like, a bit like here, what they did was they had a kind of half-hour worship. Then they had a few minutes of listening to the Lord. And then they had a few minutes of people sharing what was given out. And in the quiet time after worship, I was sitting there and I felt the Lord say, you're going to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and you always skirt around healing because I have very little faith for physical healing. When somebody comes up to me at Celebrate and goes, oh, you know, I've got a bad back or, you know, I've got arthritis, I'd really love to be healed, my heart always slightly sinks. I'm fine when people come up to me and say, oh, you know, I had a really bad time with my mother and I would like those memories healed. Where's the little way, Lucy? I mean, I'm far more comfortable with healing of memories and emotions than I am about physical healing. And I think it's the control freak in me. You know, I'm a teacher. We like being in control. And healing of memories can be a gradual thing, can't it? And the Lord will work. But physical healing, you either see it or you... Well, you don't, unless it's a process, you know, again. But, you know, in this quiet time, I felt the Lord say, you always skirt around physical healing. You're about to say to people, be bolder in moving in the gifts. Well, what about putting your money where your mouth is? I mean, that's a challenge, isn't it? So I got up to do the talk, and this is how... I don't even trust myself, okay? I thought, unless I actually say to them right at the beginning of the talk what I feel the Lord is saying to me, I will bury it, rationalize it away, and go, oh, that's just me, my imagination. Yeah, not gonna worry about it. So I didn't trust myself to get through the 30-minute talk and be true to what the Lord said. Do you get what I mean? I mean, that's how rebellious I am. That's how I struggle with being totally obedient. Okay. So, I got up and I said, look, guys, I'm going to say this right at the beginning because otherwise I'll lose my nerve and I won't do it. This is what I feel the Lord said to me. So at the end of the talk on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, including healing, we're going to pray for healing. Is that okay? And I go, okay. So then I did the talk, you know, and I went through the various gifts very briefly, and we had a go of some people needing the gift of tongues, so we prayed for the gift of tongues, and they had a go of speaking in tongues, and were released into that gift, which is lovely. And we had a little kind of activation activity where they were going to greet and had to kind of ask the Lord for a word of knowledge for each other. And we did that. Then, of course, the crunch came. And I was standing at the front and I said, let's just take a moment and let's just pray and see what the Lord wants to do in the realm of physical healing. And what came out of that sort of couple of minutes quiet time was joint pain. So with my heart in my mouth, I said, okay, anybody with joint pain, feel the Lord is saying joint pain. He wants to deal with joint pain. Anybody with joint pain, would you like to stand up? Well, there were about the same number of people as here, about sort of 30, maybe 40 people, and 8 people stood up. And 3 said, I got arthritis in my knees. A couple of people had shoulder, but one had a frozen shoulder, what is that? But yeah, she had it anyway. One lady was waiting for a hip replacement, okay? And so I said, okay, I said, I'm not confident doing this. I don't feel I have a gift in the healing ministry. I really don't. I am not Damien Stane. Do you know who Damien Stane is? Yeah, I'm not him. So I'm going to get all you guys to pray for the person standing next to. So if you need somebody standing up, will you pray with them? Because it actually isn't anything to do with me. It's to do with the Lord. And we are all baptized and confirmed Christians. So we can all do this stuff. It doesn't have to be special people, okay? Well, out of the 8, wouldn't I love to say all 8, you know, started leaping around the room. Out of 8, 2 said they didn't notice any difference. Oh, what they taught me on SSL was when you pray for physical healing, you say to the person, give me a number between 1 and 10 about the pain. 10 is, 1 is, not too bad, you know. And then after you pray, see if the pain has gone down. Because sometimes the healing isn't complete. Sometimes it's just a reduction in pain. Okay, so I've got everybody to do that, okay? So 2 people said, nah. And the thing is, you know, you have to make it clear to people, because sometimes in the healing ministry, people have been blamed for not getting healed. That's a load of rubbish. Damien will tell you that. He's so experienced in this. It's not about what you are, what you do, what you believe. It's the Lord's sovereign will, okay? He can work sovereignly, can't he? So you make it clear that if you don't receive a healing, it isn't anything to do with your lack of faith. It isn't to do with that, and it isn't to do with me, you know, not praying properly. It's, you know, you just accept that the Lord is the Lord, and he is king, and it's his will. And maybe it's not the right time, maybe it's for another day. Who knows? Don't know. Okay. So 2 didn't get anything. About 3 or 4 of them said, yeah, the pain has really drastically reduced. Okay? 3 of them got complete healing. Now, I have no faith for that. If I'm brutally honest with myself, I don't think I am a mustard seed of faith. I don't know if there's something smaller than a mustard seed, but if there is, that's what I had. And yet, because I was obedient, because I stepped out, he turned up. And that's how gracious he is. That's how gracious he is. Are you with me on this? Now, I still am uncomfortable with physical healing. I would love to say, oh, now I'm going to pray for people all the time. He's working on me, but it's baby steps. But you know, Father was saying in his homily that, you know, if you believe by faith, you know, you are redeemed, you're righteous by faith. Abraham was righteous by faith, not by obeying rules. And if you are then trying to be obedient, he will answer prayer. He does answer prayer, doesn't he? Okay, one last example. Sorry, Philip. In my own parish. Now, I've been talking about comfort zones. Actually, sometimes the most uncomfortable zone is your own parish. Would you agree? Okay, we were doing the Bible Time Live, was leading a small group. That's okay, you watch a video, you have a group discussion, you have a little prayer afterwards, pretty straightforward and nice and safe. A lady came in and she was hobbling really badly on her foot. And she had something called plantitis. What? Plantitis. That. She had that. Okay. Now, she told me that this thing comes and goes. It's something about the nerves in your feet or something, but it's very painful when you're having an attack. Is that right? And attacks can last for days, weeks, years, but they can go away again. Okay, so just to put it in context, because I want to be truthful and authentic, right? So without even thinking, because of SFL and what I've been learning on SFL, without even thinking, I said to her, well, when the group discussion's over and we have the prayer, we'll all pray for your foot, okay? And she went, oh, that'd be lovely. Now, this is a lovely Filipino lady in my parish, and I know she's in renewal because she's in a community called Couples for Christ, a charismatic Filipino community. But the other four people in the small group are not in renewal. Three of them I know really well because I taught their children 30 years ago when I first came to Milton Keynes, okay? So these are mums of ex-pupils, okay? And they know me as teacher. And, you know, they don't really know about me in charismatic circles because they're not there, you know? It shows how much I put my head over the parapet in my parish. Okay. So without thinking, I've promised this lady prayer. She comes humbling in. We sit and we have the group discussion. We've seen the video, we have a group discussion. And then she said, oh, will you promised to pray? Because I've forgotten. And I said, oh yeah, everybody, can we pray for, you know, because she's got a bad foot. And they all went, what? And it was like, what? And I said, well, it's like praying for someone, but they happen to be in the room. Is that all right? And they went, all right. And I mean, they looked at me like I'd stepped out of a spaceship, okay? And I thought, well, I better not pray in tongues then, that would really freak. And I better not lay hands because that would really freak them. Okay, so I said, Lord, we just ask that you reduce the inflammation in so-and-so's foot and that, you know, she would feel more comfortable. She said, yeah, it's always worse when I've been sitting for a while. So I went, well, try it now. And she had been sitting for half an hour because we'd been having this group. And this is her reaction, okay? She hobbled in like this. She went, ooh! Ooh! And then she stood up. She'd been sitting up, she stood up, she went, ooh! And the other four were like, what's going on? Okay, and then she went, ooh! Like that. And I went, praise the Lord! And the other four went, now, I'd like to say the next time I saw her the following week and I said, how's your foot? She said, oh, it's brilliant! But actually, she said, it's a lot better, but it's still a bit painful. Do you know? But you know, I'm going to take that. I'm going to take that partial healing because that's the way my faith is being built up. The Lord is using this to build my faith up. Not so that I get, ooh, look at me, I can pray for healing. You know, because that's spiritual pride, isn't it? And he will knock that out of you before you can say, you know, Jesus is Lord. It's so that we can go out to others. It's so that we can share the gospel. So my prayer for you is, if you are quaking in your boots and your knees are knocking, when someone comes to you and says, I've had an awful day, or I don't know what to do about my daughter, or am I, I've got such pain in my elbow, or whatever. If you're knocking in your, you know, you need the knocking, but somehow you want to say to them, well, shall we say a prayer together? My advice is, say a quiet prayer together. Keep it simple, keep it brief, and see what the Lord does. Because that's the way to share the gospel, just by loving people. Not with any agenda, just sharing his love. So thanks very much for listening. I'm sorry I've gone over.
So to hear another person expressing their faith is kind of...